Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
United States, hello Israel, Australia, Canada, Cyprus, Panama, the Virgin Islands, France, Puerto Rico, Saudi Arabia, shalom to all of you. Are you still seeing anti-Semitism taking place in your countries? Or is it in your headlines? Or is it disguised as a hatred of Israel, but not the Jews? It's the same thing, by the way. Well, today we're going to be talking about global anti-Semitism in 2018. Why? We're going to be talking about the causes. We're going to be having on Barry Shaw. He's going to be telling us what the report that he wrote to Israel's foreign ministry here in Israel about this. There's going to be a conference about it. How is it that in the year 2018, when we're supposed to be so enlightened, we're supposed to be so progressive, so liberal, so humanistic, that they're still killing Jews, and the ones who aren't, many of them, are excusing it, justifying it, marching for the ones who are killing Jews. How can it be in the year 2018? Has nothing changed? What is the purpose of it? What is the meaning? Why? Well, again, we're going to be talking about this in the show. You are invited to call in and join us on the air to give your comments, your questions, whatever you like. You can call us on our phones on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Our phone numbers are at the top of the page, right there in the middle, top of the page, IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Just dial, join us, and come on the air with us. Give us your opinions, your comments, your questions. Also, you can join me in the chat room. It's a lot of fun. I'm in there right now. I want to say hi to Chris and Motik and everybody else that's in there. You can come in under an anonymous name if you're shy. That's okay. No problem. Just give us your first name or any first name, your middle name, whatever you feel comfortable with, and tell us where you're listening from. We'd love to hear. And come and meet us in the chat room. It's a friendly place to be. Very safe and friendly. Because that's how we like it. We want everybody to have a good experience. All over the world. All right, we'll be right back. Everybody, don't go anywhere.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Show here at Israel News Talk Radio, and we're talking about anti-Semitism and also carrying on about what I was speaking about yesterday on my show about terrorism. And terrorism, by the way, is just another form of anti-Semitism. You see, if we weren't Jews that were living here, if we were all Muslims, there wouldn't be this terrorism that we have here. Well, that's actually not true, because if we weren't the right kind of Muslims, then we might be killed as well. Look at the Sunnis and the Shiites today at war with each other. That's besides the point. Jews, Israel, it's a bone in the throat of the Islamic world, of their ideology, and you cannot expect someone to change their ideology so easy. It takes a lot of re-education, and it can be done. It can be done with proper re-education, with proper consequences to bad dangerous and evil behavior. But I want to talk about this segment on why doesn't the government here in Israel and the Western governments take out these people who adhere to an ideology that they can go and kill other people and spill blood and commit criminal acts, and they have a right to do it. Not only is it a right to do it, but it's, in their eyes, a mitzvah. It's a good thing to do. Let me read you something here so you can try to understand some of the progressive and faulty thinking of many people on the left who think that we're all the same, that all people think the same, have the same value system, and why it's faulty. Listen to this. I'm reading to you from an article from Ynet News, just a small little piece, and it says here, the coordinator of government activities in the territories, Major General Yoav Mordechai, stated only recently that the Gaza Strip is a failing territory. Okay, there he's right. The Gaza Strip is a failing territory. And he blamed the harsh living conditions in Gaza on Hamas's mismanagement and reliance on smuggling through illegal underground tunnels. So far here, he's fine. I continue with the article. This is mainly a problem for Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. But the state of Israel is very much affected by this, he said at the time. If Hamas... Let me just get back here. If Hamas demilitarizes, abandons its tunnels and arms smuggling, and reaches a compromise on the issue of POWs and Mayas, or missing in action, Gaza could be turned into a very large economic opportunity. Now, you see what what they're saying here? They're saying, hey guys, just cooperate with Israel. We're good guys. We want to see you prosper as well. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But he's saying that we're going to make you economically in a better way and you'll have a better life economically. But this is the faulty thinking, because not everybody has the values of the West where they're looking for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and prosperity. They're not looking for prosperity. They have an ideology where they don't mind living like they did 2,000 years ago. They have an ideology where their value system is to convert the world, and they're not interested in having a Walmart or two cars in a garage. Let me go on with this article. He says here, it is possible to invest there, meaning in Gaza, in infrastructure and make it very successful. A failed economy can create terror and war. This is kind of true. You can have some people who are, say, I've got nothing to lose and I'll go do that. But again, it's an ideology. Why? Because we've had poor people throughout the ages. We've had Jewish people who lived in ghettos in Europe, in the pales of Russia, that were dirt poor. Did we go out and commit terrorism? Did we go out and slay people? There have been people living in the swamps of Louisiana and Florida who are dirt poor people, but they are religious, Bible-believing people, and they don't go out and kill and murder people because of their economic condition. There are poor people living in Africa and in India that are not going out and killing innocent people. This is an ideology. Let me just continue here. He says, a failed economy can create terror and war. A stable economy can postpone and not require a war and confrontation. And this is another component of the IDF's concept of security. So that's what he's saying. He's saying here, if we lift up their economic system, it's all of a sudden going to change their ideology. This is the faulty thinking, because he thinks that they have our values, Western values, Judeo-Christian values of prospering and bringing up all of society and living better. This is a failed understanding of the Arab Islamic mind. Let me continue here with the article. So some in the government are still clinging on to sweetening the pie for the terrorists. Already wrong. This is already wrong. If you're a parent, you don't sweeten the pie for the kids who are doing nasty things. You discipline the kids. You teach them why what they're doing is wrong. They pay a price, a consequence, and they won't want to do it again. They don't want to have to stand in the corner or get a spanking or not go to Disneyland, lose their privileges in this or that, lose their allowances, whatever it is that you're using. But again, back to the article. The government, so some in the government are still clinging on to sweetening the pie for the terrorists, hoping they will appreciate their economic prize and then want to live in peace with us. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. This is what I am saying here now. I am saying that some in the government are still clinging on to this type of headset that if we bring up their economic status, that we can, as the coordinator of government activities and territories, Major General Yoav Mordechai is saying, if we bring them up, it will not require a war and confrontation. And this is another component of the IDF security. Stop right there. Now I'm saying, so some in the government are still clinging on to sweetening the pie for the terrorists, hoping they will appreciate their economic prize and then want to live in peace with us, as if you can buy someone's ideology and beliefs. You see, they look at this as a disgrace. They look at it as, you think you can buy me? You think you can buy me by giving me a Walmart, by giving me two cars in the garage, by giving me a chicken in the pot, by giving me air conditioning, by giving me a good job? You think you can buy me? This world is nothing. The next world is everything. And we have to do what Allah says. Sadly, because I love humanity and I love everybody. And I want to live together in peace with people who believe in Islam. Islam, they believe in it. Okay. And that's their choice. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But you must live in peace. You must be tolerant. And you're living in our country. You must abide by our laws. And that means no criminal activity, no killing, no murdering. I remember, and I don't know if you do, but try to remember going back. I think it was in the early 2006. I don't remember exactly when it was. I'll have to look it up. But there was a siege on a school in Beslan in Russia. It was under Russian rule there, Beslan. And the Islamic terrorists came in and they took over the school and they held everybody. The children, it was the first day of school. They held the children and the parents who were taking their little first graders to school. Their first day of school was such a happy day. Parents were walking with their children with their hands, holding their hands, talking with other parents who were bringing their kids to school for the first day. And then they took them over, held them hostage for a few days. No water. Kids were forced to drink their urine to stay alive. It was hot. It was sweaty. When they were finally rescued, in a terrible rescue, by the way, because so many people were killed. So many people were killed. They were running out in their underwear. It was so hot they had to undress. And when one of the women outside, when one of the women who was held hostage went up to one of the terrorists and she said to him, "What is it that you want? Speak to our mayor. He will be very obliging to you. Is it money? What is it that you want?" And this is what the terrorist said to her. He looked at her and he said, "We didn't come here for money. We came here to die." How, my friends, do you negotiate? Do you reason with someone who has an ideology where he came there to kill and to die? You're not going to buy him off with a Walmart or a better economic situation. They didn't come for money. They came to die. This is their ideology. And there's no reasoning. Sadly, there's no reasoning with him. and with people who think like this. So Israel is still trying, and the West, by the way, let's give them more rights. Let's look the other way when they commit criminal acts, when they rape and they steal and they do all these things, because we want to show them how friendly they are so they'll like us and they'll want to be assimilating with us and living peacefully with us. But it's not the way. Law and order. Consequences for evil acts. We're all those of us who are parents know the right way to do things. All right, when we get back, anti-Semitism with Gary Shaw. Don't go anywhere and feel free to call me.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And we are live if you're listening between midnight to 1 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, or if it's between 7 to 8 a.m. Holy Time right here in the Land of Israel. That means that we are live and you can call in and join us on the air. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. All right. We're going to be talking now about global anti-Semitism in 2018. Can you imagine? It's 2018. We're supposed to be so enlightened, mankind, and yet we're still suffering from anti-Semitism. Why? What are its causes? Here to tell us more about this, we have joining us Barry Shaw. He is the Senior Associate for Public Diplomacy at the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies. He's a motivator for global grassroots pro-Israel groups, and he's the author of several books, including BDS for Idiots, 1917, From Palestine to the Land of Israel, and his new book from 2018 called Sarah's Story, A Tale of Love and Destiny. Welcome to the show, Barry Shaw.
Thank you. Thank you, Tamar. Well, good morning.
All right. So tell us about this new report that you wrote me about that you have sent to the Israeli Foreign Ministry in advance of their 2018 Global Conference on Anti-Semitism.
Yes. In March, the Israel Foreign Ministry are holding an important biannual conference on anti-Semitism, where some of the world leaders, academics, researchers, people involved in and revealing what is happening with regard to anti-Semitism that is increasing in the last couple of years. And I've submitted a report where I, as you quite rightly say, I write 2018 Global Anti-Semitism and Its Causes, in which I dissect what is happening country by country and on a global scale.
So how does it differ? I mean, is there a different type of anti-Semitism in the Islamic world than there is in the Western world?
Unfortunately, what began in the Islamic world as pure anti-Semitism against the Jew is targeting Israel as a...
Whoop, did we lose you, Barry? I don't hear Barry. Okay. We're going to try to get Barry back. Maybe we can type him something and see if he hears us. Maybe it's just a wire on someone's side. All right, so we're talking about anti-Semitism. It still exists in 2018. Not only does it still exist, but it seems that it's a lot stronger today than it was 20 years ago. Certainly on college campuses in the United States and in the West, it is very unpopular to be Jewish, to be pro-Israel. Many students hide their Jewish stars if they wear a necklace. They hide their Judaism, and they're afraid to speak up in class to their professors when the professors are spouting how evil Israel is, how it's colonial, and all these other lies about Israel. They're afraid because maybe they won't pass their class. Maybe the professor will fail them. So we're seeing a lot of this happening, and much of it is under the guise of being anti-Israel. Do we have Barry back with us?
Yes.
Okay, great, Barry. Go ahead. So I was asking you before about if there's a difference between anti-Semitism in the East than in the West.
Yeah. Well, this is what the point I'm making is that the although clearly, you know, there's anti-Semitism in the far right, in neo-Nazis and white supremacists, the vast majority of cases, and I can give you where your listeners can go to prove this point, is on the radical left and it, among the Muslims who have now gone into Europe and gone into America and on the campuses. If I address the issue you just raised, Tamar, I'd advise your listeners to go to a website called Canary Mission. Canary Mission is a group of researchers who are researching who are the people who are involved in BDS and anti-Israel activities. And you will see predominantly they are far-left professors, radical professors, anarchists. But Canary Mission profiles, gives you the pictures, the names of the people who have been found guilty of conducting radical anti-Israel activities. And you will see clearly the vast majority of them are Muslim students, Muslim professors, and in quite a number of cases, they link their anti-Israel activism with anti-Semitism and the Jew hatred comes in. Why is this important? Because it's from the campuses. They are the industry that are producing the influence makers and the opinion makers in the next generation. They graduate into politics, into the media, into important positions that frame how society and how their countries perceive the world. And they're bringing this Jew hatred into it. And you're beginning to see it in the politics of several countries. Give you one example, Great Britain, where the Labour Party, which in the past has not only not been anti-Semitic, but also has been one of the prime supporters of the Jewish state almost since its creation, but since then, have now become riddled with anti-Semitism. From the top, from the leader, Jeremy Corbyn, who calls Hamas and Hezbollah his friends, but also within the trade unions of the left of the Labour Party and within the Labour Party itself, both at grassroots levels and even in a more government or near-government positions. Why is this dangerous? Because the Labour Party, led by Jeremy Corbyn, is about one step away of becoming the next British government.
How so? Explain to our listeners who are not familiar with politics in the UK.
Right. Okay. Well, the Labour Party was always one of, let's say, middle of the road, if not supportive of Israel, for instance. But there have been increasing incidents of clear and blatant anti-Semitism, Jew hatred among Labour members at all sorts of levels. And now it's led by a leader, Jeremy Corbyn, who comes, I would say, from the far left. And this isn't new because we had one before him, Ken Livingstone, who was the mayor of London, who was blatantly anti-Semitic, who is now the leader of the party.
And today's mayor of London is Muslim himself.
He's Muslim, and he tries to hide his feelings of against the Jews, and some Jews would say he's not blatantly or overtly anti-Semitic. But this is what is happening in Britain, and where you get in cases all the way from the head down into the streets. You have, obviously, Britain is also suffering from part of the migration from the Middle East. And as I write in my report, anti-Semitism in the Arab and Islamic world is a given. It's accepted as if there's little can be done about it. As somebody once told me, anti-Semitism is fed into kids with their mother's milk, and it's taught to them in their schools, and when they grow up and they go to their mosques and hear it in their media, all they hear in the Arab world is the Jews are responsible for all their failures and the fault of their societies. And they bring this baggage with them when they migrate into places like Europe and certainly into America as well. And the whole issue that you see with regard to the attitude of not only the Palestinians, but the whole of the Muslim world with regard to, for instance, Jerusalem, the issue of Jerusalem being the Jewish state. Anybody with clear head knows this is a given. I don't have to repeat what I'm sure has been on your show in the past. But Jerusalem has been the capital of the state of Israel for about 3,000 years. But this is really a denial of Jewish history and religion in Jerusalem, particularly around the Temple and the Temple Mount and the City of David. It's all part of the political and religious desire for the conquest over the Jews. It's as ancient and it's as modern as Islam itself. And this is part of the drive that is driving the anti-Semitism we see around the world. I talk about America and, like you said, what is going on on the campuses. Again, I would refer your people to, for instance, to Canary Mission, which would be an eye-opener, and that's just the beginning of it. But it goes into a lot of other countries. If I can talk very briefly and quickly about Sweden, for instance, who would suspect that Sweden would be a country that's riddled with anti-Semitism? We saw this recently with the firebombing of a synagogue in Gothenburg. They take out their rage against Israel by picking on Jewish targets, as we saw again in Malmo in Sweden, where there was an anti-Israel demonstration, which typically talks about death to the Jews, Kaiba, Kaiba, we're coming to get you. These sort of cries are going on all the time in Sweden. France, for instance. We have had situations since 2007 going into last year where Jews have been murdered because of people's rage and identification with Islam. Just a month ago, we had the three-year commemoration of the terror attack in Paris, part of the Charlie Hebdo one, where the Jews, four Jews, were murdered in the Hyper Kasher Kosher deli on the same day. Jewish businesses, supermarkets in Paris were firebombed by arsonists in an increasingly Muslim and decreasing Jewish area. These are the sort of displays that are erupting throughout Europe. We had the same thing in, some people may have seen the video of a man with a Palestinian flag trying to smash windows in a kosher restaurant in Amsterdam while the police stood by and watched him. They only moved in, as you can see in the video.
Okay, you know what? We're going to hold it there. We have to go to a break. We're going to be back, and we invite your calls. If you have any comments or questions, if you'd like to weigh in on the matter, you can do so. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I'm from Stanton, California, and I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Andy from Augsburg, Germany, living now in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. When I want to get the news from Israel, I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Leo Yuwono from Indonesia, and I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Carlton Letala from Zimbabwe, and I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
My name is Akira.
And I'm Bela Singer from Efrat, Israel, and we love listening to Israel News Talk Radio for the best information on Israel and the Jewish nation.
Hello, this is Mudaz Iran, leader of the Jordanian Opposition Coalition from Jordan. As an Arab, I enjoy listening to Israel News Talk Radio for the most updated news about Israel and to follow peace with our friendly neighbors.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Talking with Barry Shaw about global anti-Semitism in 2018. Barry Shaw is an author of BDS for Idiots. He knows very well what's happening in the world when it comes to anti-Semitism, and he's here talking to us. If you'd like to call in and weigh in on the issue yourself, or if you have a comment or a question, feel free to do so. I know you're listening in from all over the world. Let's just take a look again. The United States, Israel, Australia, Canada, Panama, Cyprus, France, Puerto Rico, Saudi Arabia, Sweden. It's great to see everybody here, and call in if you have any comments or questions. So, Barry, just before we went off the air, we were talking about the difference between anti-Semitism in the West and in the East. We see it manifesting itself in different ways. And I wanted to ask you, you know, if you go today to Europe, to countries like Hungary and Poland, which are not Israel lovers, but they also don't tolerate the Islamic immigration that we are seeing in the rest of Europe, and therefore where there's less of the Islamists in Europe, there seems to be less anti-Semitism on the outside. Can you explain that?
Yeah, you could probably add Austria into that as well. It's very funny because these countries you talk about have a history, a very bad history of anti-Semitism stemming from the far right, in fact, Nazism and their form of neo-Nazism. But today, some of the modern leaders of these countries, you mentioned Hungary and Poland, are adding Austria as well. Even some of the ones who are leading parties that were considered radically far right are renouncing their history and apologizing for their history, if you want, and adopting a more conciliatory tone when it comes to, instance, to Israel being fully aware that Israel is the Jewish state. They're more appeasing towards Israel these days. And a lot of these countries are, as you quite rightly say, have less, far less street-level anti-Semitism because they have far fewer, they've accepted far fewer of the migrants from the Middle East, which who are obviously vastly the press, majority of them are Muslim. As I mentioned in an earlier segment, that somebody once told me that migrants do not migrate from the Middle East into Europe. They bring the Middle East into Europe. And these countries that you mentioned, Poland and Hungary in particular, are those who are turning against the European Union attitude of open borders and allowing the free flow of migrants into their societies. And therefore, they will have, even in the future, far less crimes, social problems, and the anti-Semitism that comes along with it.
So basically, what I hear you saying is that where the Islamic migrants are going and bringing their anti-Semitism with them, that it's kind of like unleashing and making okay for the other Gentile, European, and American anti-Semites to also come out now because they're strengthening their stance on Israel and their anti-Israelness and their anti-Jewishness. But let
You're
me
quite
ask
right,
you,
Tamar. Statistically, there is a rise with the rise in the percentages of Muslim migrants in countries. There is a equal rise in the anti-Semitism expressions of Jew hatred in these countries. I give you some examples of Germany, for instance. They have a major problem right now. It's a country that has a massive now social problem. We now have anti-Semitic acts. We have the burning of Israeli flags. And as, for instance, the president of Germany says, the burning of flags of the Jewish state, he says in German times, frightens and shames me. And he went on to say that the General Federal Republic is only fully functional when Jews are fully at home in it. So there's a problem in Germany. Whoever burns Israeli flags burn our values, said the German Justice Minister Heiko Maas. And I mentioned in an earlier segment about Sweden, France, for instance, where you have a high uncontrolled immigration from Middle East migrants, you have eventually and quite quickly a rise in anti-Semitic incidents.
So, Barry, let me ask you this. Now that we know some of the causes of anti-Semitism today in 2018, what, in your opinion, is the solution?
The solution is actually adopting the definition of anti-Semitism as a hate crime to be punished. You can't have a situation where, for instance, you had a situation where at a demonstration One person was arrested for waving an Israeli flag at an anti-Israel demonstration where Palestinian flags were raised and shouts were "Death to the Jews, Kaiba, Kaiba, your time is coming." And yet it was the guy waving an Israeli flag that was arrested, in prison for a couple of years, and faces hate crimes. And yet the people waving the Palestinian flags and shouting these slogans weren't arrested at all. In other words, in a lot of European countries, you have to bring in laws defining anti-Semitism and Jew hatred, which is including targeting the Jewish state as hate crimes. And this has to be applied also in America. You mentioned the campuses. The campuses, it seems to be, you're entitled to free speech to break a protest and break up any talk by any pro-Israel or Israeli speaker. That in free speech. But what about the protection of the free speech of somebody who is advocating for the Jewish state and raising the point about any protest against this is a demonstration of anti-Semitism? I think you're having the laws now in 24, 25 U.S. states are bringing laws against BDS, and one South Carolina is now bringing in a law defining anti-Semitism. This is important because once you have a state in America which defines hate crimes and anti-Semitism, you can then take legal remedies to cut out the anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist, anti-Israel activities that are going on in America, predominantly in the universities. In Europe, it's happening on the streets.
You know, I'm thinking here that the Muslims have brought in a word called Islamophobia, and they've made it very unpolitically correct for anybody to be labeled that way. Perhaps the Jews should do something like Judeophobia and start, targeting people and saying, you're a Judeophobic person, and using that. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. It's the fear of being called an Islamophobe that is preventing politicians in the West, in Europe, and probably in America as well, in imposing anything that might, you're not exactly targeting Muslims, for instance, but wherever anti-Israel, anti-Jewish expressions are taking place, these people should be punished, and Islamophobia should not be an excuse for not doing it. What is Islamophobia in definition? It's fear of Islam, that's true. Right. But where Islamists or Muslims are championing the cause that are making victims of local Jews because of their hatred of Israel, the collective Jews, this has to be stopped.
All right. Judeophobia. That's our new word that we've just coined today. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, Barry Shaw. Barry, if people want to follow you, where can they do that?
Probably the easy way it would be to follow me on Facebook. I have a number of Facebook pages because two or three of them are oversubscribed. Or if you're in a country and you have Life for Israel, you have Life for Israel USA, Life for Israel New York, Life for Israel Germany, Life for Israel France, Life for Israel UK, Life for Israel Lawyers, Life for Israel Teachers, for instance. There are a number of Facebook pages that I administer in order to contact me. If you have any questions, leave them there. I'd be happy to answer. I'm here to help anybody who is suffering from both anti-Semitism and anti-Zionist, anti-Israel activities and want to know how to remedy and challenge what's being spoken by your neighbors, by your people on campus or in your media.
All right. And just to give you a big plug before you go, you just wrote a new book. It's a novel. Just tell us one sentence about that.
Okay, thank you very much. My new book this year, following last year's 1917 From Palestine to the Land of Israel, this year's book is called Cyrus Story. It's a tale of love and destiny. My wife, following my wife's advice, she's usually right about everything, says I'll never make a fortune unless I write a romantic novel. Well, this is a romantic novel of sorts, but it's also an exciting page-turner. And quite a tough story because I position here a young, very attractive Jewish woman as a heroine here. It's based on the life and times of Sarah Aaronson, who comes alive in this exciting book. And it details in novel form about this remarkable woman's life. It's a passionate affair, the loss of a lover, a witness to genocide. It's also a tale of espionage and courage for love of country.
Is this a historical novel? Because that's what it sounds like. This is a historical novel?
It's a historical fiction novel, yes, but it's based on a true person.
Right. Okay. Well, you know what? Those are my favorite. I love historical novels. By the way, Sarah Aronson, for anyone who doesn't know, was helping the British come in to the Palestine, to make the Palestine Mandate over where the Turks were ruling here for so many hundreds of years, and also really bad to the Jews. All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Barry. And again, Sarah's Story, that's what it's called?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon.
All right, very good. Barry Shaw, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Tamar.
All right. And I hope you all can take away something from the show. Remember, ideology cannot be bought. You have to re-educate, and you have to have consequences for evil behavior. People can have an opinion. They can have a belief. But you cannot overstep it and go and murder and commit crimes. That is where it has to stop. And that is where it's the responsibility of the countries to enforce their laws and keep law and order. That is one of the answers that has to be done. And that has to be done immediately. You can write me tomorrow at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Thanks for being with us.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.